This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
No, we're talking about edification. How important it is, and how each one of us has a ministry of edification one to another. And that's what we do. I mean, if you don't think you have any purpose here, to edify one another is a great purpose, to be edifying. And so it says here in 15:2, let each one of us please his neighbor for his own good. In other words, think about your neighbor and in terms of their benefit. You're thinking about your neighbor, not how you can rip them off, but how you could do something for their benefit, and leading to, and the word is edification. First, neighbor doesn't just mean the person that lives next door to you, as we've taught you before. Neighbor means a near one. Somebody in close proximity to you, somebody in your family, a co-worker, somebody, an acquaintance, obviously somebody who lives near you, a church member, the person beside you is your neighbor. Neighbors are all around you. God has placed you in a certain place, and there are people around you. And those people are your neighbors. And those people you have a special ministry to. And it's called edification. And especially those who are saved, who can receive edification, who can be built up. The word edification is oikodome, and it means to build a house. To build a house. A person who edifies is somebody who is building a house into somebody else. It's a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. A person's life, a person's soul, as you know, is a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. From the moment you received Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit indwelt you. He moved in. He also sealed you, as we'll mention here in a moment. He also baptized you into the body of Christ. And he lives within us, and he is in there based upon the fact that God, the Father, once we are in Christ, sees us as complete in Colossians 2:10, and then Hebrews 10:14, he sees us as perfect. And on the basis of that fact, there is no barrier between us and God, and so he is easily able to move in to the believer's life, regardless of your present conduct or behavior or where you're at in terms of your own soul or your own mental state or emotional state. God is able to move in to your life and abide there forever. He's able to be there. It's a perpetual relationship. It is an ongoing relationship that doesn't stop, doesn't quit ever. But while the Holy Spirit is in you, we are also taught in the New Testament that it is possible to grieve him. And it's also possible to quench the Spirit. Grieve the Spirit, quench the Spirit. Two things that we can do that has a negative effect on him. He doesn't quit and move out. He doesn't pack it in and say, that's it, I'm through with you. But he can be grieved, and he can be quenched. So we are interested in edification. Edification builds us up. It's the word oikodome means not only the word edification, it means it's translated in your Bible as edify, to be edified, to be built up, and to be building up, and to build a house. So it's all to be built up is the same Greek word as edify. So when you see the word built up, you could put the word edify in there and it would mean the same thing. So building up, Ephesians 4 and verse 30 says this, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." So we are sealed, and that's the seal of ownership. That's the seal of ownership upon us, never to be disowned. We have the seal of ownership upon us the moment you were saved, never to be disowned. But while the Holy Spirit is in me, he can be grieved. Like I can grieve the one who seals me, who puts his stamp of ownership upon me. And the way I can do that, well, the way Ephesians 4 describes you can do that, is right after that he says, forgiving one another. So it's possible for me to grieve him if I do not forgive you of something that you may need to be forgiven of, something you did to me, whatever you did to me. I don't know what you did to me, but whatever you did, you're forgiven. Maybe you spoke evil of me. Maybe you sold me something you knew was a piece of junk. I don't know what you did to me. Whatever it is, I forgive you, because that's the expression of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's forgiving. He's very forgiving. And so we forgive people all the time, whether they ask for it or not. It doesn't matter whether you ask me to forgive you. I forgive you anyways. And half of the time, I don't even remember when people come and say, you know, can you forgive me for this? And I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even remember what that was. Because the Holy Spirit is a forgiving God. His forgiving is perpetual. It covers past, present, future, everything. He's done it all at once. And the attitude, the ongoing attitude of forgiving others is just there. It's part of the expression of the Christian life. Now, if I don't express that, instead of forgiving you, I'm angry at you, then I'm grieving the Spirit. Because I'm expressing something through my life that is not from the Holy Spirit. So where's it coming from? It's got to come from flesh. And so I'm pushing him out of the way and saying, I know you want to forgive this person, but move over, I'm mad at them. And I want them to know just what they did. And so my expression is one that pushes the Holy Spirit aside, and that grieves him because he wants to do what? What is he here on earth for? He's here on earth to glorify and to manifest Christ. And I'm not allowing him to do that in that specific little portion of my life, in that little area of my life, that little episode. I'm not allowing him to express Christ in that situation. I'm going to express me and what I think. And that's going to do somebody a whole lot of good, right? For that happens. Forgiveness would be one. You could say love, unconditional love towards somebody who is very unlovely, who is very hard to love, who is very difficult to love, and yet the Holy Spirit wants to love them. My flesh don't. Wants to avoid them. Go around and make sure they don't even come near me. So those are the kinds of things that we do in our life that push aside the Holy Spirit and say, we don't want Christ in this situation. We don't want to manifest Christ. We don't want to express his attributes, which is why we're here. We have a treasure in the earthen vessel. We have we have God's attributes available to us to express to mankind. But if we choose to not do so and to just be ourselves in the situation, to be angry, to be frustrated, to be unforgiving, to be bitter, to be, you know, to hold things against people, to hold grudges. All of that is very grieving to a spirit who wants to reveal Christ. And quenching is about on the same level as that, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. On a grander scale, quenching is my self-involvement pushing out his involvement. My self-involvement pushing out his involvement. How can that happen? That can happen, let's say we were a very ritualistic church or a ceremonial church or a works-oriented church. Doing those things and emphasizing those things pushes the Holy Spirit aside once again. And his involvement is quenched. Because we have it all together. We have a religious program going, and that religious program quenches the work of the Spirit. because we know exactly what to do, when to do it. And some organizations even have a little thing you follow week after week. It tells you what the message is, what you're going to pray, what you're going to do. It tells you everything. It's written out years ahead of time. And they pass them out and they send them. And that's what you're supposed to follow Sunday after Sunday. Something like that could quench the spirit, or makes it very difficult for him to work through it, because you don't have any liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You have no liberty because you've locked yourself into a certain pattern. Counselors can do that because they learn their counseling maybe from a secular perspective, and they bring it into Christianity, and they attach some verses to secular counseling, and they try to bring them both together, and that really quenches the Holy Spirit's involvement in it, because you're giving them the point by point that you learned back in your sophomore year of college or something, when you went through that course and studied that particular malady in the person's life, and you've got it all labeled. They have this psychosis, and they have this, and they have this, and this is what you're supposed to do, instead of having the liberty of just waiting on God and see what God would have to do at that moment and getting some wisdom from God. And maybe there's no fancy talk that you can do in this situation. Maybe it's just prayer, or maybe it's something totally different than what the book says, what the psychology book says. But following the book, following the course, following the program, those things can block out the involvement of the Holy Spirit, and because self-involvement comes in. So his involvement is out. And so that's quenching the Spirit. So you can grieve the Spirit, you can quench the Spirit, and people do it all the time. You're not going to lose your salvation over that, of course. Nothing takes that away, because that's a gift. But you know, if you're going to walk with God, you want to learn how to not quench and not grieve, you know, or at least do it less and less as you continue to grow in Christ and grow in grace. The Holy Spirit is in us and will remain in us forever. But he is experienced best when the self-life, is taken out of the way. When the self-life is taken out of the way. And that's why discipleship and Matthew 10:24, he says, you want to follow me and be my disciple? Then take up your cross and have self removed. Have self removed. Because self is going to grieve and quench. And you're not going to be able to follow me that well, because you won't be listening to me that well. You'll be following your already preconceived ideas and the program that's already up here in your head, instead of having the liberty of hearing from me. So that's important as a believer. So we want to experience Christ. We want to experience the Holy Spirit in our life. We want him to reign in our lives. We don't want to be overcome by life. And this happens when we are in the process.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program, and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
A1 Auto Care of Hope Sound is a WCNO corporate underwriter. Dave and Esther Morgan have been serving Treasure Coast motorists since 1980.